Appreciate that song. If you have your Bibles, let's look over in the book of Jonah. And we'll preach out of chapter number one. I thought the Lord's give us. If you want to hold your, if you want to find Jonah, I'll tell you how to find it. Find Obadiah, and it's right after that. That helps you a little bit, doesn't it? 9:43, if you got old Scofield. The book of Jonah. I want to look over in the book of Matthew also. And chapter number 12. And set a little foundation. Matthew chapter 12. And read one verse over there. So Jonah chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your good graces. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercies. Lord, that we feel every morning, God, that are fresh and new. I ask You tonight, Lord, for that grace, and I ask You for that mercy. I pray, Jesus, God, that You'd speak through us, Lord. I pray that You'd hide this old flesh behind the cross. Lord, I pray the good Holy Ghost to do His perfect work in this building. Lord, take Your word, Lord, and expound on it, Lord, and teach us what it says. We need to hear from You. Lord, we love You, and we thank You and ask You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty. Matthew chapter number 12, in verse number 40, the Bible says this. For as Jonah's was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And let's flip over to Jonah now, chapter 1. And we're going to probably read most of this chapter here. We're in Bible study anyway, so that's what we're here for. So let's dive into it. The Bible says, verse number 1, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, he says, go to Nineveh. Very, very important words. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to understand something here. We have Jonah is a unique character in your Bible. He is a what we call a double type. He is a type here of the rebellious Christian. He is a type of the rebellious servant of God, a backslidden Christian, if you want to call it that, that turns his back on God. But then we read over in Matthew that he's also, in another sense, a type of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind as we read this, and we've seen that you'll see it intermingle with these verses. He said, but Jonah, verse 3, let's read that verse. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we not perish. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempest. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempest against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. Interesting word in it. I've seen innocent blood somewhere else in my Bible. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, I want to preach on just the simple thought of Jonah as a type of Christ, a type of our Lord and Savior. And notice here a little contrast of, I want you to understand that he is definitely a type of our Lord. And we see a division here in chapter number 2, at the end of chapter 1, in chapter number 2, it is a division of the dispensations. Chapter number 1 is a clear picture of the dispensation of the law. If you'll notice here, the Bible says in verse number 2, it says, the command to Jonah is to go to Nineveh, that great city, and do what? Cry against it. He said, for their wickedness has come up before me. So the law is against something. The law is crying against it. The law is something that will hold you accountable. If you'll notice also, starting in verse number 6, going on down through verse number 11, there's seven different questions that are asked. And you know what the law will do to a person, anybody that's not under the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ? That law will hold you accountable. That law will put you on the stand, and it will judge you, and it'll question you, and it'll say, why did you do this? Well, as we look in Revelation chapter number 20, I believe with all of my heart, when all the dead that are in the seas and all the dead that are lost are come up from the dead and they're brought before that great white throne judgment, they're going to be condemned by the law. They're going to be condemned because they rejected Christ. And when you reject Christ, you've got to go by the law. And the law is impossible for a man to follow. So notice now, we're going to skip over chapter number 2. We may come back to it later on. But now notice the contrast here in chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Jonah's going back to Nineveh, and now he says, arise, here's his command, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and do what? Preach unto. He didn't say cry against it. All the law is going will ever do is go against you. It's against you in all ways. But Jesus Christ and the gospel of Him buried and, you know, crucified, buried and risen again, it's unto you, and it's a glorious message. It's the only message that can help you. Amen. So I'm glad that there is a man. I'm glad there's a man that went overboard, amen, and wound up in the belly of the whale, and he got out of that belly in 3 days, and now he's going unto, and he's preaching a message that actually worked, and they repented. So let's look here. First of all, in I see here in verse number 4, I see some stormy seas. The mighty tempest of the sea. And we notice in our Bible, we notice these stormy seas. Anytime you see the word sea in your Bible, it's talking about the world. And I see this stormy sea that we live in today, the world that we live in, it is absolutely a storm. It's nothing but a raging ocean. It is nothing but a bunch of waves that's never peaceful. It's never calm. It's raging. You don't know which way it's going to toss. There may be a storm that brews up out of it all of a sudden. And I'll tell you the cause of that is because of sin. Mankind and his wickedness is always agitating. And it's always making things happen in this old world that causes storms. And you know, as we go out into it, not only the cause of it, but we see the certainty of this stormy sea. It's dangerous, isn't it? You know, as you and I go out into this world, it is a dangerous thing. We go out into a world where there's murders. We go out into a world where there's hatred, there's strife. There's all types of sin and wickedness. And it's always been, it's nothing new for 2023. It's always been, as soon as the first two brothers was born, one of them got jealous of the other and killed the other one. So sin's always been around. We see that God destroyed the earth the first time in Genesis chapter number 7 because sin was rampant on the earth. So this world has always been in turbulence. It's always been a wicked place. It's always been a mean place. And when we go outside and we face this world and we have to walk in this world, it's a dangerous place. It is a wicked place for us to have to walk. But I'm glad that Christ is with us. Amen. The stormy seas cause the certainty of it. But I'll tell you the conclusion of this world and the conclusion of this stormy sea that we see here in this chapter. If we look at this world on the outside, and I'm glad that we have a blessed hope on the inside in here. But if we look on the outside of these walls and we see this world and we see this story here, if Jonah was not thrown overboard, if he would not have sacrificed his own self there, this boat would have went down and everybody would have perished. And I'll tell you the same with this world that we live in. If Jesus is not accepted, if He is not your Savior, sure destruction is the answer. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, one of these days that has not been saved by the grace of God, we'll find that hell is literal and it is a place for the devil and his angels. But any that rejects Christ, any that turns their back on Him and chooses this world over Christ, will find themselves one day in this place called hell. And it's a dangerous place, but I tell you, it's a destructive place. It's got a conclusion. You look on the outside of this world, and it seems like everybody's living it up, and it seems like everybody's having the time of their life, and everything's going merry. If we just get a job, and get a house, get a couple of cars, get the kids in ball, and get them a good grade, get them out of school, get them in college, get them a good job, then we go die, and they start the cycle over and over and over. But I got news for you. There is an end that we'd better pay attention to. There is a conclusion to this thing that you and I had better put the emphasis on. Honey, we know how to live. I've heard Brother Ken say this. We know how to live, but we'd better learn how to die, because dying is what starts eternity. This little bit of age down here of 70 years that we live, or 80 years, or 90 years, however old you live, it's just a short time. It's a brief period. But one of these days,
days when that old ticker ticks for its last time and it quits. Honey, I'm telling you, eternity starts. And if you're lost without God, I don't care what church you belong to. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care what you said in your little prayer. I wonder if you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because if you're not, you will find out that hell is a literal place and that you'll be there as soon as you close your eyes in death. It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And I'll tell you one thing. You listen to me, listen to me. I'm glad that there was a man of God told me one day. I'm glad that one day a man of God got up and preached the Word of God, hung me out over hell. And the Holy Ghost came to me on the front row of Sardis Baptist Church. I remember it. Don't remember what I said. I believe I got saved on the way to the altar. Hey man, I was too young. I was 8 years old, but I'm glad that the Holy Ghost saved me there, and I'm willing to step out into eternity on what took place in an old-fashioned altar. Honey, it was a God thing anyway. I'm glad my salvation, I'm about sick of all this, somebody decided to follow Christ. Amen? We need some Bible words for salvation. Amen? I got born again. That's a Bible word for salvation. Saved is a Bible word. Amen? Honey, there's a lot that followed Christ. They followed Him into Jerusalem, but then they got there and crucified Him. You better make sure that the Holy Ghost has come to you in your lost condition and showed you that you need to be saved, and you, under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction, ask the Lord to save your unworthy soul. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you the truth. We live in a time where it's going to be a sad day one day, because there's a lot that's been deceived. Paul's the pattern of salvation. He said it. He is the pattern. You know what a pattern is? There's a pattern a man used to cut these pews. There's a pattern used to make that pew. Pattern is what you go by. And Paul, Acts chapter 9, is the pattern. And Paul got knocked off his horse. And you know what? It wasn't some pretty prayer that he prayed. But it was a God thing, and it was Paul. It was Saul down on the ground. And listen, he said, the Holy Ghost is the one that done business in his heart. And now listen to me, the stormy seas. But I also notice the sailors in this sea. Verse number 5, we see these sailors, the mariners in this sea. We see these mariners. You know what these mariners were doing? They cried, "Every man unto his, what little g God?" Don't that sound like America today? Don't that sound like the world? Listen, let's go a little further. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, a type of a sea, a type of our faults and our faith. You know what this world tries to do? You know what this world is convinced that if they'll do it, they'll be okay. I've heard folks tell me, when you witness to them, I've heard them say, "I'm going to be all right." I think I've heard somebody with guts enough to say, "I think I've lived a pretty good life." I've heard somebody. Anybody ever heard somebody say that to them? "I think I've lived all right." You know what? They casting wares into the sea. They trying to do things. And you know, even in, I believe it's over in verse number 13. Verse number 13, you see, even after the preacher told them, "I got to be thrown overboard," they said, "Listen, let's row a little harder and see if we can get to land." You know what man is trying to do? He's trying to work his way in. Man is trying to look good. Honey, let me tell you something. You can look good to me. You can look good to your wife. You can look good to your husband, your parents. You can look good to the church. You can look good to the preacher. But when the conclusion comes, it's not going to do you any good. There's an end to this thing. There's an end to it. They were active. They had their works going. Their works. Man's got a lot of works nowadays, ain't he? There's a lot of folks, boy. I know how sorry I am. I'll just be honest with you. I deserve hell, Brother Shane. I mean that.
But you know what? There's a lot of folks who look like they got it together. A lot of folks looks like, boy, how in the world? Boy, they got it together. You know what? What really matters is if the blood has been applied to your life. Has the blood been applied? Because, you know, it's easy right now to get caught up and Satan will throw things in your life and let you enjoy it to the fullest. I mean, he'll let you enjoy the boat ride. He'll let you enjoy the scenery. He'll let you enjoy the money and the things and all these things. But honey, it's coming to an end one day. It's coming to a conclusion. They were active. But I notice also, you know, not only the problem is they were trying to do better. And they were trying to look good. They were trying to get this thing fixed. But the problem is in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, I'm going to read you a verse here. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, they were accursed. You know what? Ever since Adam sinned, man got a curse on him. Man had a curse on him, and there's only one single remedy for that curse. You cannot do better. You can't be as good as Moses. You can't be as good as Elijah. You can't call down enough fire from heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus. Even the Old Testament saints that died looking towards Calvary, they didn't get to go to heaven. They went to the paradise side of Sheol or hell, and they stayed there. And Jesus, when He was in this tomb for 3 days, He went to the center of the earth, and He preached unto them. What did He preach? He preached Himself crucified and buried and risen again. And they accepted Him exactly the way that you and I did, and they followed Him out of hell and went to glory. Man's got a curse on him. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. See, sin is a three-letter word, and it's just sin. You may categorize it as that's a pretty big post, just to be honest with you. And that's a smaller post. And you know, that's a sure enough huge post. But it's all post. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. You can take the roughest drug head. You can take the worst murderer, whoever. You can take all of those and look at them and say, man, them some wicked jokers. But you can take a little old bitty granny that's lived all her life and hardly ever said any curse words at all or had any bad thoughts. And she'll burn in the same hell that those murderers. Isn't that something? You see, it's not about my good. And it's not even about my bad. It's about salvation. It's about being born again and the blood being applied. And that alone. That alone. They were cursed. And you know, they got to a good place. They got to a good place. The Bible says on down there that they were afraid. Listen to me now closely. You that saved will understand what I'm going to tell you. Has any of you ever been in a place in your sins where the Holy Ghost made you afraid? I hope so. You've been to the place to where the Holy Ghost showed you, boy, you fixing to go to hell. You remember, anybody remember that? I hope you have. Scared of the flames of hell. Absolutely. You better believe it. Feared of it. You know what they got? When you get there, when you get to that place, when you get to the place where you're scared, business is going to pick up. You know what happens when you're scared? You give up on yourself. When you have fear come upon you in such a way as that, what you're doing is giving up on your own merit. You're giving up. You're throwing the towel in on your own ability to save yourself. I fear. If you could save yourself, why would you fear? But what you're doing when I say I fear is I'm throwing my hands up. I give up. I give up. The sea and its sailors, the stormy sea itself. But let's look at the Savior of the sea. Now we're going to see Jonah as a type of Christ. Now watch it now. You know what the first thing Jonah done here? Now look at it as this sea, as this world. You know what Jonah did? He came down to the ship, didn't he? You know what Philippians chapter number 2, I'm going to read you Philippians chapter number 2. Are we doing all right? I got 1.5 points left. I couldn't, you know what that is? You can't find nothing to write under your fourth point. All right. Chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse number 6 of Philippians says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. You know, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what Jesus did? You know, you ought to see the grace of God in this, because Jesus looked at our situation. He didn't have to do nothing. He could have did another Noah's deal and wiped every one of us out. Why not? Why should he have mercy on me? Why should he have mercy on me when he didn't those in Genesis chapter number 6? Why? But he didn't. He promised himself he would never destroy the earth again. You know what he done? He looked down to this stormy sea, this old wicked world. For God so loved what? The world. The world. Loved everybody. Loves everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Do you know what? He came to us, didn't he? I don't even know which direction heaven is. Could be on the other side of the earth. I don't know. Where's up when you get into space? Right? You know, how do you get... I don't know how to find Him, but He knows how to find me. I was the one that was L-O-S-T, lost. He never been lost. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a dirt particle, He was there. Just in case you didn't know, God knows the plan. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all, by the way. I'm glad I'm under Him. The Savior, He came down, but not only, He delivered Himself. Watch this in verse number 12. Verse number 11 says, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Now, picture this. This boat is in the sea, and it is chaos. I don't like that. I seen where a cruise ship was out of, I believe it's Celebrity or something, I don't know which one it was. But it was out there, and that water was going down in my mouth. I'd have needed one of them defibrillators. I'd have died. I'd have had flashbacks to the Titanic. They could have just thrown me overboard and fed me the sharks. I'm telling you, I couldn't handle that. But you know what? Picture this. Everything is turbulent. Everything. The waves are out there. I mean, this is fixing to go down. And they asked him, what in the world do we need to do? Seems like I've read something like that before. Remember when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and I was at Acts 16. The rock went to earthquake, come, opened a jail cell up. They was about to escape. That soldier was about to take his own life. Paul and him said, "Don't do yourself no harm." And then he come out and said this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So you see what they're under Holy Ghost conviction in verse number 11. What do we need to do? You know what he said in verse 12? He said unto them, take me up. You know what they'd done to Jesus? They took him up. You know what they'd done to him? Now, I don't know about you, but verse 12 strikes me strange that a man
in a turbulent sea would say, I'll go overboard. Yeah, where's the gangplank? I'll walk it. I'll get out of this thing. Sure. I don't
know y'all from Adam's house yet. I just met y'all back there. So I'm out. Yeah, let me just jump overboard.
Something in there. That's sort of strange, isn't it? Sounds a lot like another man I know. Sounds a lot like another man I know that was high on a throne. Whew. Sounds like another man that had all power. But he said, Daddy, I'll go. And he went. You know what they done? They hung him on a cross. They took him up. But you know what? He had the power to lay that life down. And he had the power to take it back up. What a God. What a Savior. What a Savior. We ought to shout a while. What a God. Watch it now. I got to hurry. Verse 11, he said unto them, take me up. And cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. You know what? He's the, according to Isaiah 9, or Isaiah, is it 6, 9 or 9, 6? He is the Prince of Peace. It's the Prince of Peace. You know what? As I look across this world and I see the turbulence and I see the chaos, I mean, it's absolutely insane out there. You know what'll bring peace? It's, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's not Donald Trump. It's not Ron DeSantis. It's not. It's not if somebody paid off all the United States' debt. It's not going to help. If somebody come paid your house off, somebody got you totally out of debt, give you $1 million, took care of you, said, you ain't going to worry about it. That's not peace. But I'm going to tell you what peace is. Peace is knowing that even though the sea is raging, you can lay your head down tonight in a bed. I can go home. Me and Amy's talking about our jobs. We're grateful for them. I thank the Lord for my job. Thank the Lord for her job. But we're both sort of in sales, I guess. And it's a little bit stressful. But you know what? Your job, whatever you do during the day, your health maybe, your children. Boy, it's so stressful, ain't it? But you know what you can do? If you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, you can go and say your prayers tonight when the sun sets. And you can lay your head on your pillow and say, Lord, if I don't wake up and see the sun again, it's all right. Peace ain't about the outside. He ain't never been about. I'm not a health and wealth preacher, and a lot of you TV folks, a lot of folks are, but God ain't never really interested in getting you rich. You know, that's all fleshly stuff. But you know what God will do? He'll give you an inner peace. When you have to go to the graveyard, a premature, when you have to go to the hospital and hear that cancer word, when you have to go here and you have to do this, when you lose your job, when you lose everything, there can still be a peace. That's real. That's eternal. His death brought peace. This raging sea is a type. This raging sea is a type of the wrath of God on man's sin. You know why the world's in chaos out there? Because God ain't going to have His hand on that wickedness. And whenever God is absent, wickedness prevails. Lastly, the sovereign settling of the sea. Verse 15, the Bible says it. So let's go on. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard, bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempest against them. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is persistent. Wherefore they cried to the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from their raging. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The sovereign settling of the sea. This problem that we have down here, it's a God thing. It's got to be taken and handled by God. It's got to be handled by the Lord. And as they looked over in this sea, as they looked over into this sea, God already had a plan, didn't He? He had that fish. He had that great fish, a whale, the Lord called it in Matthew 12, and it swallowed him up. 3 days he got out. Just like Jesus. You know, the Lord went in that tomb for 3 days, but He got out, didn't He? You know why He got out? He got out for you. And He got out for me. I sure am glad that God loved me enough that when I was under the law and I had no way out, He said, "Listen, He told His prophets to go to and cry against." But after Jesus come, He's got men of God and preachers that go unto and preach unto. I sure am glad there's a gospel message today. And whosoever will can take of the water of life freely. Isn't that something? I sure am glad I'm saved. Father, thank You for the good Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for Your kindness. I pray You'd bless Your Word. Have Your will and Your way in Jesus' name. Amen.